And the word of the Lord comes to us this afternoon from Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. So last time when I was here, we were looking at Genesis chapter 12. Remember that in the first half of chapter 12, after Abram received the promises from God, he responded with worship. Then in the second half of chapter 12, and I know it has been half a year since I was here, I was just trying to give you a recap, and we saw how Abram encountered a famine, and he went down to Egypt. But when he got to Egypt, he encountered a problem, that he knew his wife was beautiful, and he knew that if he just went down to Egypt that way, people there would take his wife away from him. So instead of trusting the Lord there, he turned to his sinful scheme and decided to lie about his relationship with Sarai. And then unexpectedly, Pharaoh took his wife Sarai away. And then we saw how the Lord divinely rescued Abram and Sarai from the situation, and in turn blessed Abram with many material blessings. And the Hebrew word there at the end of chapter 12 and the beginning of chapter 13, the word is heavy, burden, meaning that he has left with many burdens. But this burden was actually a blessing because he received many material blessings. And today we come to Genesis 13, and we'll continue our series. And because this is a longer chapter, let me read from verses 1 to 9, and it will continue. We'll read together verses 10 to 18. So Genesis chapter 13. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between them, between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." Together. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go towards Soar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you." Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. As far as the reading of God's holy and inspired word, may he add his blessings to it. So, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, how many decisions and choices do you make every single day? We know that some of the choices we make can lead us better, like making a good financial investment or choosing a godly, Christ-centered, Christ-loving spouse. But some of the choices that we make every day can also lead us bitter, like marrying an unbeliever, which can lead to a lifelong spiritual and family struggle. Or we know that some of the choices we make when it comes to friendship or relationship can lead us helpful in times of need. But some can also lead us hurtful when we make the wrong choice in mingling ourselves with the wrong crowd. The reality is that life is made up of a lot of choices. But the question is, how do we make our choices and decisions? What is the basis on which we make our choices and decisions? And when it comes to choices, it is quite relevant for our text in front of us today. It is because it draws the contrast between two men and how they made their choices when they had the chance. And the two men in front of us, of course, they are Abram and Lot. And up to this point in our series, they have traveled together a long way. They have been traveling together since Ur of the Chaldeans. We saw that in Genesis chapter 11, verses 27, and into chapter 12. They've been traveling together since then, and they went to Haran together. And from there, they also went to Canaan, when God called Abram out of the land of Haran into Canaan. And it is also likely, as we saw in chapter 12, that they went down to Egypt together. And here in this text, we see that from Egypt, they together returned to Canaan, and where both of them faced a choice of their life. So today, we want to really ask the question of what lessons can we learn from the choices of these two men in front of us, and what encouragement can we get as we look at how Abram made his choice, and how can that encourage us in our spiritual journey. So this is what we are looking at today. And today we'll be looking at this text in three different sections. First of all, Abram's offer from verses 1 to 9. Second, Lot's choice from verses 10 to 13. And then third, the Lord reaffirms Abram from verses 14 to 18. And our goal of the sermon is that you may learn to walk this pilgrimage journey by holding fast to the promises of God through faith and devoting yourself to a life of constant worship. Let me repeat that. Our goal of the sermon is that you may learn to walk this pilgrimage journey by holding fast to the promises of God through faith and devoting yourself to a life of constant worship. So let us now come to our first point. So the chapter here in chapter 13 begins by telling us Abram left the land with all that he had. He left the land of Egypt with all that he had, including the wealth he gained there in Egypt. But notice carefully how Moses gives us, spends the first four verses telling us, and let me read verses 3 to 4 again. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. What is going on here? What was Moses trying to tell us? And here, if you notice carefully, what the text is telling us is that Abram was systematically retracing his steps and reversing his tracks. From Egypt, Abram went to the south, where he made the bad decision to go down to Egypt. And from there, he went back to Bethel to call upon the name of the Lord. And remember, what kind of place was Bethel? Bethel was the place, if you look back at the end of chapter 12, Bethel was the place where he worshipped the Lord after the Lord made all those rich promises to him in chapter 12. And what was Abram doing here? What was he doing here in Bethel? Or why was he retracing his steps? Remember in chapter 12, he encountered a famine and he went down to Egypt, and he also lied to the Egyptians about his wife. And what happened there was that he failed to trust the Lord, and he abandoned the promises, and he went down to Egypt. So here, by reversing his tracks and went back to Bethel, he was realizing that he was wrong, and what he did was Egypt was wrong. So what's happening here was that he was dealing with his failures. It was the fruits, the movement here of reversing his tracks was the fruits of his repentant heart. What he was doing here was that he was going back to square one. He was going back to the place where the Lord brought him and where he dedicated himself to the Lord, where he made the altar to worship the Lord and dedicated himself to the Lord. So when we see that he got back to Bethel, he called upon the name of the Lord, as the text tells us. And this was actually an act of rededication. He rededicated himself to the Lord. It was as if Abram was turning from his failures and turning once again back to the Lord. And brothers and sisters in the Lord, this is a small lesson for us. What Abram was doing here shows us how we should respond to our failures in our Christian walk. And there are times when we trust in ourselves instead of trusting God. There are times when we do not love one another as we're called. But the question is, do your failures drive you away from God? Or do your failures drive you back to square one, back to where you started, so that you can ask the Lord for forgiveness and you can once again worship him for his grace? And as New Testament believers, we know that the Lord God has forgiven us in Christ because he loves us. So when we fail, we know that we can always turn away from our failures and go to the throne of grace and ask for forgiveness and worship him, just as Abram was doing right here. And that is also why we come to church every Sunday. We come here earlier as we confess our sins publicly, and we're eager to hear the assurance of pardon. But notice what happened after returning to Canaan. The text immediately tells us that Abram encountered another problem. And look at verses 5 to 7. Moses tells us that the land could not support both of them dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And if you remember what happened in chapter 12, Abram there, he encountered a famine. And this is actually pretty interesting because this time he was not poor anymore. He was having too much, that his wealth was giving him troubles. And this time, how did Abram respond to the strife? And we look at verses 8 to 9. Then Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if you take the right hand, then I will go to the left." And notice a couple of things here. First of all, look at how Abram addressed Lot. He called him a brethren. He called him a kinsman, which actually means a brother. And if you remember the relationship between Abram and Lot, Abram was the uncle of Lot. He was superior in relationship. But here you see that he was humbling himself before Lot, and he was striving to keep the peace by showing humility. And more than that, as the elder and the leader of the clan, Abram had every right to choose where he wanted to live. But look at how he dealt with the problem here. He deferred the opportunity to choose first and allowed Lot to choose. Can you see a generous response from Abram? Remember that the text tells us that there was strife between them. But here he responded with a generous action. And can you really see that Abram had really changed? What a contrast we saw from the Abram when he went down to Egypt. In Egypt, he could not trust the Lord, and he decided to respond with his own scheme. And this time, he chose to respond with generosity and grace for the sake of peace. And can you really see the Holy Spirit was working in his heart, that Abram was really being changed? This time he was putting another before him for the sake of peace. I remember the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 5, he said, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And here we see that Abram was starting to show a glimpse of transformation. The Holy Spirit was working in his heart in such a way that he learned his lessons from last time. And here he was living as a child of God. And more than that, can you also see that Abram trusted in the Lord this time? And if you think about it, didn't the Lord promise Abram that the whole land would be his? Remember in chapter 12, he says, I'll give this land to you and to your descendants. Remember that? That was the Lord's promise. But here, in light of God's promise, he was not trying to hoard what the Lord gave him, but he decided to give Lot the choice, even the possibility of giving away the better portion of the land. You see, he was trusting. You see, by trusting and holding fast to the promise of God, Abram was able to promote peace. And not only that, he was able to be generous with what the Lord had given to him. And here it really shows that he was now living with an eye of faith. He was seeing the present world in light of God's promise. And all other material things were secondary to him. For him, what was important was the promise that was made to him. But if you think about it, realistically, Abram at this time, he did not yet legally own a single acre. But he was already disposing the land as if he was already the owner. Can you really see? Abram really believed. He really believed what the Lord had promised him. He believed that the Lord would actually give this land to him. It shows us that he really believed in it. He was so certain that God would carry out his promise, that in his mind, he was already the owner of the land. And he was disposing it. He was telling Lot to choose where he wanted to live. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, can you see a different Abram in contrast to what we saw half a year ago in chapter 12? After what happened in Egypt, we really are seeing a different Abram, one who began to look at everything with an eye of faith. And this is really the first man that the text is presenting to us, a man who was walking with an eye of faith. So we see here that Abram trusted in the Lord and generously offered the land to Lot. How did Lot respond? And upon hearing Abram's offer of the land, Moses told us that Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I would want you to pay careful attention to the verbs that Moses was using here. He said, Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Can you notice here the verbs that I emphasized here? Saw, took, and chose. Do these verbs ring the bell? You know, when we, in Genesis, when we see these verbs coming out, we know that Moses was telling us something very important. And let me remind you of what happened in Genesis chapter 3 when Eve saw the fruit and it was pleasing to the eyes. She took it. And in Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God saw the daughters of men were beautiful, were pleasing to their eyes, and they took them as wives. And you see here that the same verbs were used. It is as if Moses was telling us that something bad was about to happen. And Lot here, he saw that Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. So he chose, he took. So what is going on here? What was Moses trying to tell us? Well, Moses was telling us that just as Eve was seduced by the fruits and the sons of God, they were seduced by the beauty of the daughters of man. Lot here also was seduced by the lust of the eyes. And also notice what happened next, what Lot did next. Moses tells us that he decided to separate from Abram. And this is significant. It is because we have to realize essentially what he was separating himself from. Remember that back in chapter 12, we saw the promise was made to Abram. In the promise, the entire land was promised to Abram and to his descendants. God was to make Abram a blessing so that others would also be blessed, especially those who are associated with him would also receive the blessing. Remember that? Remember that ultimate blessing? But here, you notice what Lot was separating himself from. He was content to separate from Abram, who was ultimately the medium of blessing. And if you think about it, did he not care about the promise? Did he not care about the seed of the woman who was to come that his forefathers, his ancestors were looking for? Did he not care about that? Well, the reality here was that what happened here, his choice here, really shows us that he did not care much about the promise that was made to Abram. His concern was to receive the better portion of Canaan without regard to the promise and the blessing given to Abram. And you see here that Lot was not acting according to his faith. Here he was tempted, he lusted, and he was lured away by the things of the world, and he looked away from the promise. And in so he left Abram, the one through whom he could receive the ultimate blessing. And brothers and sisters in Christ, as believers, as Christians nowadays, we have the whole Bible. And we know that the promise was ultimately connected to Jesus Christ. It is because the one who would come through Abram's loins and would bless the world was the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember how the prophet Isaiah describes him in Isaiah 52, verse 2. For he shall grow up before him like a tender plant, and as the roots out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. You see, he was the one, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, was the one whom the world rejected because people with eyes of the flesh could not see his beauty. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, do you see what Lot, who was walking by sight, what he did not see? Can you see what this person, Lot, who was walking by sight, did not see? Whom he was not able to see was the blessed Cain, who would be the exceedingly great reward of Abram, the one who would ultimately bless the whole world. And he was really the one from whom Lot was in danger of separating. He was the promise of the coming king. And then notice also what happened after Lot separated from Abram. Moses told us in verse 12, he said, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. And notice a comment here in verse 13. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. So can you see what's going on here? Abram here, he not only left Abram, but he moved near the most wicked society of his age. And you see here, he was really putting himself in a very dangerous position. And if we look ahead to future chapters, we know that Lot here, he made a very devastating choice, and he would later suffer the permanent consequence of his choice. But brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are to judge by the world's standard, people would say that Lot was having the chance of his life, and he was really taking the opportunity of his life. He was offered a chance to live in a place where it was beautiful and with nice pasture. And the reality is that it speaks to many of us as well. It is like you and me, maybe when in our workplace we're offered an opportunity to go to New York or go to Los Angeles, to the best cities in the world, where we can make a name for ourselves. And the reality is that we can also be seduced by an opportunity, and we can also make a devastating choice. Maybe once again it's an offer of a career opportunity in a city where there's no gospel preaching church or a good Christian school for our children. Or maybe it's as a student going to a prestigious college in a city in which does not have a good church. All of us can be seduced by these by these lusts of the eyes, by these, and we can all make devastating choices. But let us remember what our Lord Jesus said to us in Matthew chapter 16, 24 to 26. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? So yes, in the eyes of man, Lot, he gained the whole world all right. But in the process, he was putting himself in a dangerous position. He was in danger of losing his soul. And brothers and sisters, this is really the consequence of walking by the eyes of the flesh. They blind us, and soon we'll too find ourselves in danger of losing our souls. So after we see Abram held fast to the promises of God while Lot walked away from the promise, how did the Lord respond to Abram's faithfulness? And that leads us to our final point. And notice here what the Lord said to Abram in verses 14 to 16. He said, "Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can count the dust of the earth, your offspring can also be counted." Do you notice something similar to earlier verses? Do you notice that something was happening? Remember, the similar verbs were being used there, or sentence structure was used earlier in the verse, in earlier verses. And remember what happened in verse 10 when Lot was making his choice. He lifted up his eyes and looked, then he chose. And here, the same verbs were again being used. But notice the difference this time. Last time, Lot, he looked with lustful and natural eyes, and he was the one who chose the land that pleased him. But this time, notice that Abram was passive. It was the Lord who told him to lift up his eyes to look at the land. Can you see the difference here? While Lot wanted a piece of the land without a promise, the Lord promised to give it all to Abram. And more than that, the Lord also repeated the promise to Abram in order to affirm him of his great promise. And notice the terms were one more expanded and more specific. Last time in chapter 12, the Lord only said that he would make him a great nation, make him into a great nation, and would give him and to his descendants the land. But this time, the Lord not only said that the north, the south, the east, and the west would be given to Abram and to his descendants, but the Lord also specified that this land will be theirs forever. And more than that, the Lord also compared his offspring to the dust of the earth. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, do you know why the Lord would repeat the promises to Abram? It is really for the purpose of reassuring him and for the sake of encouragement. Because if you think about it, it was exactly what Abram needed at this time. With Lot being separated from him, Abram had to carry the journey on his own from now on. And remember that Lot was really the last link that he had with his past, and now Lot was leaving him. And now he had no other choice but to be wholly reliant on the Lord. And we see here that the Lord graciously repeated and expanded the promises to Abram in order to reassure him and to strengthen his faith. Can you see how good was the Lord to Abram? Can you see how good was the Lord to those who trust him and who fear him? Then after the Lord made Abram to look at the land of promise, in verse 17, the Lord told Abram to walk through the land. But why would the Lord ask Abram to do that? Have you ever thought about that? Why would the Lord ask Abram to walk through the land? Have you ever thought about that? Well, it is because in the old days, the kings would walk in the territories to demonstrate their ownership and authority over those areas. So in other words, it means that the Lord was telling Abram to walk like the king or the owner of the land and claim it. Claim it to be his. And this shows Abram the extent of God's promises to him. What a gracious God. And finally, what did Abram do in response to God's reassurance? And once again, Moses tells us that he built an altar to the Lord. I remember what an altar means. An altar is a representation of worship. So after hearing what the Lord said to him, Abram responded with worshiping the Lord again. Remember that after the Lord made to him the promises in chapter 12, verses 8 to 9, Abram responded with worship. And earlier in this chapter, after he returned to Canaan from Egypt, when he repented from his sins, he worshiped the Lord. And now he was worshiping the Lord again. He worshiped the Lord because he believed that God would carry out his promises. And the author of Hebrews actually confirms to us that Abram believed in the word of God. But not only that, the author of Hebrews also tells us that Abram looked in faith beyond the land to the thing it represented. The author of Hebrews describes in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, he said, Abraham looked forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. In other words, Abram's eyes of faith pointed him further than just a physical land that he and his descendants would inherit, but he was looking forward to an eternal city where he and his descendants would dwell forever. And here it really shows us that Abram understood that the land, that the physical land of Canaan, was just a foreshadow of the greater thing to come. The greater thing to come was the eternal city whose architect and builder is God. But brothers and sisters in Christ, we know that we'll be part of it too. That heavenly Canaan, that eternal city, we will also inherit that as well. It is because the Apostle Paul told us in Galatians chapter 3 that those who are in Christ are the children of Abraham. We are his descendants. And not only the Jews were included, but also the Gentiles, and that includes you and me. It means that one day, all those who are in Christ will inherit the heavenly Canaan. So brothers and sisters in the Lord, what does this really mean to us? It means that as children of Abram, we are pilgrims in this world. We're just passing by. We're aliens. We're foreigners to this earthly world. We're just passing by here. Our destination is not here on earth. But when we're walking this path, this journey of faith, we're looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. But as we are on the journey home, we're currently living in a world full of temptations and sins. We're living in Sodom. And we know that Satan is trying to seduce us constantly. And what happened here in chapter 13 reminds us that we may resist the devil by holding fast to Christ and his church, through his church, and diligently dedicating and giving ourselves to the worship of God. So it means that when God calls us to worship every single Sunday at church, we go eagerly. It is because we know that when we're gathered with other believers, not only is our faith strengthened, but we're also encouraged to walk this journey by holding fast to the hope that was given to us. So in closing, brothers and sisters, let me ask you, are you walking by sight? Are you like Lot? Are you captivated with this world and the things of this world? Like Lot, have you begun to make discussions being driven by the appearance of things? Or are you following Christ like Abram did? Are you trusting daily in God and in Christ? Are you living in light of his word? Like Abram, are you trusting in his promises, keeping his law, and living according to his truth, which is the word of God given to us? And brothers and sisters in Christ, if we're truly walking by faith, we'll find ourselves like Abram, who is also found at the altar, giving glory and praise to the Lord. And may God help us as we walk this journey of faith, hold fast to his promises, And when we do so, may we also dedicate ourselves to a lifelong of constant worship. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for these lessons from the life of Abram, for so often our decisions are made in light of worldly principles. We know how often it is that we're influenced by the physical and the material things of this world. Lord, may you enable us to see things realistically. Enable us to realize that it is the things that are not seen, that they are eternal things. Father, help us, Lord, to hold fast to your promises until the day you return and take us into glory with you. We thank you, O Lord, for this great example of Abram. Teach us, O Lord, to walk with you as you're with us. We pray all these in Jesus' name.